Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
And in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, it says, "And though a man might prevail against one who's alone, two will stand with him, yet a threefold cord is not easily broken." It says in the Bible that man was not meant to dwell alone, so he gave him woman. That's the two. Together we can face a lot more things, but when we invite God into it. So let's do that right now. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to come into this service and direct it. I ask that we're led of the Holy Spirit. God, I ask you to think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords to the problems that are happening right now. The challenges that are happening, the hurts that have happened to anyone within the sound of my voice, whether on television, online campus, Facebook, or right here in the buildings and campuses of Faith Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to get right into a couple of questions that people have asked. And I'm going to need some help here. I need a guy to come help with this. Is there an outgoing guy who's not easily embarrassed, who's willing to help? Just raise your hand, because I need some help. I need some help. I need some help. People are pointing to other people. Kyle. I'm okay. Cheering session. Kyle must not be shy. So Kyle, you just hang out here for a minute while I read this first question. The first question is, my husband doesn't seem to notice me. I ask him if he notices anything different when we're getting ready to go out for an evening, and he can't even get that right. So the reason I asked for a single guy is because if I get a married guy up here, he's going to inevitably answer the questions wrong and get in trouble before he even leaves the building. So I got single guy, but I need you to pretend. No, I'm not going to bite you. Come on. I need you to pretend to be my husband. But I am married and my husband owns a gun, so no touchy. All right, so we're just going to go into a scene right now. And our scene is, we're in the bathroom. We're getting ready for a great evening out together. We are going to have so much fun. I got my makeup out. You're listening to some music. We're getting in the groove. And I walk up to you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, scene. Hey, honey, you ready for tonight?
Oh, I'm super excited for tonight.
Yeah, do you notice anything different?
Do you usually wear pink suits?
So you don't even pay attention to what I wear?
Oh, did I say that?
So you don't pay attention to what I wear, and now you don't even know what you say.
I don't know what I say.
You're just full of questions tonight. Obviously, I work this hard and you don't even notice anything about me, all of the work, any of the preparation I put into this thing. We're supposed to have a night out and you don't even know what color I ever wear and you don't even know what you say. And you're just like, well, I didn't even know I said that. That's what I hear from you every single time. You know what? Let's just cancel the sitter. Just don't. No more words. This has happened, or something similar to this has happened in a bathroom near you. We don't have to admit that it was our bathroom, but I'm just going to be honest. Similar things have happened. Why did this happen? Well, I wore my pink suit this weekend because I want to tell you things from the women's perspective. I want to out women. All of those things that your wife or your girlfriend won't tell you because she's afraid it's going to make us look bad, I'm going to tell you that stuff. And then, guys, I'm going to tell you the things that you wish your wife would tell you, but she doesn't know how to tell you. And the first thing, girls, is we can't set up guys like this. It's mean. Me asking him if he noticed anything different, I was alluding to my hair, which he obviously missed, Kyle.
I missed that.
This is going to be fun. It's mean and it's a setup. Me asking my husband if he notices anything different is like my husband taking me to the garage, popping the hood of the car, going, hey, babe, you notice anything different? No, I don't, because I don't know what I'm looking for. Man, I want to ask you a question. How many are willing to answer anything to that question as long as it keeps you out of trouble? Say amen. How many of you are even willing to be led in that particular conversation if it keeps her from getting mad? Say amen.
Amen.
What'd you say, Kyle?
Amen.
He's not even married yet, and he's like, somebody tell me what to say. You see, ladies, what happens is we're really insecure. We want to go out for a night on the town. We're not really feeling very good about ourselves. We're not as cute as we used to be. We're not as small as we used to be. We're not as tight up here, and as things are sagging and bagging where they used to, what used to be up here is now down there. And we want to be cute, so we need some reinforcements. We need a compliment. So here I am fishing for a compliment, but he doesn't know what I want him to compliment. He doesn't know what I want him to notice. So we need to lead him. Everybody say lead him. Watch how the conversation becomes a lot more fair and a lot different, because no offense, Kyle, but the Bible says that men are made of dirt. You're just a dirty man. You don't know. And matter of fact, in Genesis 2, verse 23, it says, now bone of my bone. Adam is saying, now flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman. Because that's what he said when he saw her. He's dirty. He wants to compliment from the very time he even named her. But he doesn't know how. So here's how we do it. Ready? We're in the bathroom. We're getting ready. Stuff's down there. And scene. Hey, I know we're going out tonight, and I really wanted to impress you. So I bought this new outfit. What do you think?
I think you look super great, babe.
Well done. Now I feel good. I feel confident. I'm like, oh, he thinks I look great in this. I'm probably going to wear this twice a week. New favorite jeans, right? That happened in that moment. The thing is, we expect marriage to do the work for us. And marriage has been made magical. But rom-coms are not real. And if we're looking for that, oh my gosh, he kissed me, butterflies in my stomach feeling for the next 40 years, we're going to get sorely disappointed. We're not supposed to have butterflies every time he kisses us. We didn't marry him because he kissed us and we had butterflies, because by the time you get married, most of those are gone. We married him because he is our rock. We married him because we trust him. We married him because we chose him. We married him because we believe in him. We married him because he was there for us. So we can't change the rules of the game. And marriage, it's not really finding the right person. Marriage is about becoming the right person. Amen? Come on, somebody. You ready for the next question? So you still game for this, Kyle?
I'm so down.
This one came from Weldon Spring. Said, I try to talk to my boyfriend about where we are in our relationship, and he never has much to say about it. But there's always something else that seems more important than where we're going. But he seems so into me at other times. How do I figure him out? Okay, Kyle, question. Do you have a favorite sports team?
Yes, the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. Disappointed us in the playoffs. How many minutes into that game did you still have hope that it was going to be good?
I always have hope, but I can usually tell how the game's going to go. At halftime, I was really scared.
Okay. All right, so here's the scene. You're in the living room, you're on the couch, you're in front of a big 100-inch flat-screen TV that you just bought last week to watch this game. You have two remotes, one for the TV, a second one for the computer, because you're streaming one feed and you're watching this one, so you get all the angles. You got your favorite drink, your favorite snack, you're on the edge of the seat. We're only 6 minutes into the game, so you still think this is going to happen, even though it's the Cowboys. You're ready to go. You're on it. You're into it. Can you be this guy? Show me. Show me you watching the game. This is you. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's happening.
Let's go.
Yeah. Who's your favorite player?
Probably Dak Prescott.
Okay. Tell him. Tell him what to do. Watch this game. Okay. We're in the scene. We're in the scene. Okay. Good. Yeah. Hey, babe. What you thinking?
You know how I am when I watch the game, okay? You know how I am when I watch the game.
I know, but I just need to know right now. I'm feeling something, so I just need to know what you're thinking.
Well, what exactly are you feeling?
Are you telling me you don't know how I feel about you?
How can I know how you feel if you haven't told me how you feel?
Friends, his head is not in this game right now. Right? He loves me. That's why he married me. And I love him. That's why I married him. But ladies, what we do is we pick those moments of competition. Is he going to pick me or is he going to pick the game? Is he going to pick me or is he going to pick the project at work? Is he going to pick me or is he going to pick the guy's trip? Is he going to pick me or is he going to pick the bowling league? We purposefully position ourselves in these moments because we think in our head it will prove to us that he loves us more than he loves that. But the fact of the matter is we get 50 years together and he only gets 90 minutes of the game. Come on, guys, don't be shy while you're in a group. So, ladies, it's all about one word. I want you to repeat it. It's all about timing. Say timing.
Timing.
And he wants to talk to you about the relationship, but that's why there's half time, right? And if you want the conversation to last more than 10 minutes, plant the seed at halftime that you want to talk after the game, and he's automatically going to respect you more because you didn't interrupt his game, and he knows, he heard that you said it, and then he's immediately going to go back into man mode. Game, 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 game. And ladies, there's certain questions we should never ask a man. Matter of fact, raise your hand. Ladies, raise your right hand. Say out loud right now. Say, I solemnly swear. To never again ask a man the following questions. Amen. I'm not sure if that was a swear or a prayer. But whatever that was.
It's okay, either way.
Okay, either way. Because there are certain things we should never ask a guy. It doesn't set them up for success. We're in the bathroom. I'm getting ready to go to work. It's a big day. I got a big meeting. I'm not feeling it. I'm insecure. I'm really kind of, would you? So I just walk up to him and I say, hey, babe, does this make me look big?
Definitely not.
I so appreciate your honesty. I love that you're there for me like that. It just makes me feel so good. But today I need honesty because I have this big meeting, and if I walk in there and they're thinking her hips are big and I need them to be thinking about what I'm saying, I'm not going to get the sale, and we need the money. So I just need you to be honest with me today only. You get a pass. I just need to know, does this make me look big?
Well, you know, the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's what you always are, period.
Kyle's not going to be single very long. Ladies, we are setting him up to lose. He's got no way to win. We know when our booty gets big. Our booty gets big when the number on the scale goes up. Right? These are the questions we ask the scale, not the husband, because if we trick him into being honest, we can throw things at the scale, but we can't throw things at him. They throw things at their husbands. Did you see that? They didn't say amen. They didn't say amen. We own a scale. We go to that. Don't put our husbands in a position that we're going to hold against them later. And guys, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. If you didn't take any notes yet today, write that down. Okay, here's another question you never ask your husband. We're on vacation. We're in the Bahamas.
Wow.
Spent the day on the beach, tanning, feeling good.
Okay.
Got ready for dinner. We're all spiffed up, and you're walking me to dinner. Hey, honey, you see that girl over there?
What girl?
That girl right there. Do you think she's prettier than me?
There's a 0% chance that anybody in the world's prettier than you.
You're doing good. Girls, why would we ask that question? We chose that girl to ask him about because we think that girl is prettier than us. If we think that girl is prettier than us, why would we put him in the position of lying about the 22-year-old supermodel who's anorexic with her white girl weave and lashes on? If we're going to ask that question, ask it about the 85-year-old woman and her polyester pants with her walker who's limping on one leg and has never used makeup a day in her life. Right? We have to set them up to win. And guys, there is only one answer to this question, and it's the one Kyle gave. What woman? So good. Guys, sometimes we make it hard. We make it hard for the guys in our lives to win. And so we have to work on factoring those questions out. Matter of fact, Saturday night service, last night we were here, and there were some small groups meeting at a restaurant. There was about 35 people in these small groups, and I was going from table to table. And one couple was telling me, he said, yeah, we were in the lobby of the church, and my wife looked at me and said, I don't ever ask you any of those questions, do I? That's another question you can't ask. You ask him those questions. That's why I'm telling you that you ask him those questions, so he doesn't have to tell you that he asks you that you ask him those questions, because he feels lost and confused. And here's the problem, ladies. When men don't understand, men don't stay. When men don't understand, men don't stay. Men begin to retreat. They begin to pull back. They begin to be physically present, but emotionally vacant. And if we want our men in our lives, if we want our men engaged in the relationships, what we have to do as women is we have to set them up to win. Everybody say, set them up. To win. Ready for another question?
Yeah.
From the Ferguson Florissant campus. It says, when it seems like there's something wrong with my husband, I try to get him to talk about it, but he won't open up, and it seems like we just get in a fight. How can I get him to open up? Okay, let's talk about this. Do you have a favorite chair, couch, place you sit at your house?
Yes.
What color is it?
It's black.
Well, is it charcoal? Is it ebony? Is it like brown black? Is it blue black?
It's like your shirt black.
We'll call it charcoal. Right? Different between men and women. We're already like, ugh, you don't even know what color your chair is. So Kyle is coming home from a terrible day at work, and all you want to do is get to your charcoal chair and turn on the television and chill.
Absolutely.
Ready? Scene. Come on in from work. Hey, babe, something doesn't look like it's right. Are you feeling all right? You okay?
What doesn't look right?
You just feel like downcast, like your heart's heavy. If there's something you want to talk about, I'm here for you.
Can I just sit on the couch for a little bit and watch TV?
Sure, but I mean, I want to feel like you can confide in me. Did you have a hard day at work or something happen?
Yeah, I had a pretty hard day today at work.
You had a hard day at work?
Yes.
You had a hard day at work. Like, I don't have hard days at work. You know what the nice thing for you is? Your day at work has ended, and now you're home. My day of work, oh, it's continuing. I've got diapers, I've got dinner, I've got baths, I've got baby puke, I've got laundry. But no, you just go to your charcoal chair and sit down like you wanted to and just erase the world while my day of work continues, because here I am slaving away and you're just doing nothing about it. Exactly. Do you even know where our relationship and marriage is going in the next 10 years? Of course you don't. Of course you don't know. You know what? I just can't even talk to you right now. You just need to give me some space. Go. Just go. Just go. No, really. You can go. You can go. Thanks. Yeah, that's cool. Thanks. Oh, seriously? You're just going to walk away? We're in singly probably the most important discussion in our married life, and you're leaving me right now? I can't even believe this is happening. You just walked out. You know, I try to confide in you. I try to talk in you, but no, you retreat. You sit in your chair. You walk away, and really all I need is a hug. Not because I asked for it. How many of you know Kyle did a great job? Give him a hand clap as a success. Thank you, Kyle. You did great. So here we are around the mountain again. When a woman says that nothing is wrong, it means that everything is wrong. And when a woman says, leave me alone, go away, what she means is fight with me until you can hold me because I need to be held. And again, when men don't understand, men will not stay, but women don't send a clear message as to what we want. How many of you see the inherent problem in relationships? So how do we begin to understand? James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Everybody say, listen.
Listen.
The problem with listening is it's very inconvenient in a fight. Because you can't listen to what they're saying genuinely because you're very busy thinking about what you're going to say as soon as they're quiet to make your point. Because the goal right now isn't really to fix the relationship. The goal right now is kind of to win the fight. Have you ever won the fight and walked out of the room and know you lost? So it becomes about the moment and not about the big picture because we're not listening. Everybody say, listen. Let's go back to James 1:19. It says, be slow to speak. My beloved brethren, be swift to hear. So we're listening. Be slow to speak, which is really hard. And be slow to wrath or slow to get angry. And friends, this is the only way to be right. If you want to be right in the fight, what you have to do is listen. Well, how do you know that? Because the rest of the scripture comes back to say, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness, the rightness of God. If we want the rightness of God, if we want the righteousness of God, if we want peace in our marriage, joy in our marriage, love in our marriage, we have to start with listening. Everybody say, listening. And we have to dwell with one another according to knowledge. That's what 1 Peter 3:7 says. So that's what we're sharing today. So I know it seemed like we did a lot of role playing, a lot of skit acting. And how many of you know I was probably just a few decibels higher than I normally am? But maybe not too much. Have you ever gotten sillier in a fight than you wanted to, even though you didn't want to admit it to him or to her before? Right now it's safe to say amen.
Amen.
So this is what we want to do. We want to make sure that we're staying in those relationships. And as women, we want to give clear indicators about where we are at in life. Because let's talk about men for a second. Most men think on the inside, while most women think on the outside. Which means, as the woman is thinking, guys, she's just telling you about everything that has happened. She said, well, Johnny got kicked at school, and the guy who kicked him had a yellow shirt on, and he had this brass tacks on his jacket. And you know that one kid who comes in the silver car? And you don't care what car the kid comes in. But she's upset about that Johnny had a problem at school, and she's talking through the kids, and she's talking through the finances, and she's talking through her mom. Ladies, here's the thing. We're just airing what's on our mind. And we don't want him to fix any of it. We just want him to be there and listen and care. But men are fixers. Everybody say men are fixers.
Men are fixers.
If they hear a problem, they think that they're supposed to fix it. Well, how do I fix your mom? How do I fix the kid at school? How do I fix the finances? Maybe I can fix the car. I don't know. I'm not very mechanically inclined. Maybe I can come up with the money to fix the car. So while we're saying all those things out loud, he's sitting there. It seems like he's disengaged playing with the remote, but he's trying to figure out how to fix each and every problem that we've just laid out before him. But instead of understanding that that's his process, everybody say process.
Process.
We get mad. I can't even believe that you have nothing to say about this. You know what? I'm going to bed. And we go to bed like Elsa. We're like, the cold never bothered me anyway. We freeze him out. He's on the other side of the bed going, let it go, let it go. Because he's also thinking in his mind, because I'd like to, for the first time in forever. And this whole time, you're on the last 4 inches of the mattress shooting him those Elsa eyes like, don't you even bring that cold toe over here. And all he's doing is trying to figure out how to fix what we brought him. Let him be him. That's why you chose him, because he was a rock. That's why you chose him, because you trusted what he was going to say. That's why you chose him, because you believed in him. So the very reason that we chose him in this moment becomes the very reason that we resent him. And instead of giving him the space to be who he is, we want him to be who we want him to be. And then men get tired. And a tired man is a dangerous man, because tired men start pulling away, and they start pulling away. And once they pull away, they start filling that void with something. And if that something is not us, that something will become something that we have to contend with. But they have the right to do that, because Proverbs 25 verse 24 says, it's better to dwell in the corner of an attic alone than in a house with a contentious, argumentative, bullying, misunderstanding, well, I'm just strong, I just speak my mind, woman. Whatever it is we call it. Come on, guys, you can clap. It's okay. I wore my pink. Y'all know I'm not a pansy, right? We've learned this through 20 years of marriage and trying to figure it out. I'm not saying we do figure it out, but I am saying we're trying. And then I want to get into this last question. It came from our city. It says, a year ago, I discovered my spouse was having an affair. They began attending Faith Church with me shortly after. However, to date, even though they know I know, my spouse continues to deny that anything happened. I told them I was committed to our marriage and that we can work things out. Should I be concerned that my spouse continues to ignore what happened, or should I continue to push for answers? I wanted to get into this question in particular because no relationship can survive without forgiveness. But forgiveness does not always mean moving forward. So forgiveness. Forgiveness is not optional in any friendship relationship, work relationship, dating relationship, marriage relationship. Forgiveness is not optional. It's the glue. We have to do it no matter if they lied, no matter how bad they lied, no matter how bad it hurt, because unforgiveness does not hurt them. Who does unforgiveness hurt? It hurts us. So we have to forgive them. Now, whether or not we can move forward depends on honesty and transparency. You can't move forward with somebody who refuses to be honest. What is honesty? Honesty is, hey, you did something wrong. I found out about it. I brought it to you, and you fessed up to it. That's honesty. So they made a mistake, but we forgive. Everybody say, we forgive. And when there's 180-degree turn, they call that repentance. When you were going this way, and you turn, gonna go that way. If they're really gonna try, then we move forward. But that's when you can't just be honest anymore, friends. That's when you have to be transparent. Yeah. Transparent is, I didn't find out, you came and told me. Yeah. That means if you're going to be late, you bring it up ahead of time. If there's a girl at work flirting with you, you tell right away. If somebody sent you a text that's even a little bit on the edge, you show it right away. It means that you unlock the phone. It means that you hand over the phone. Maybe it even means you close down the social media for a while. Transparency is your forthright with the information. And if there's been a hurt in the relationship, if you are not willing to be transparent as the offender, your relationship will probably not survive. But if you are, everybody said, I will be. Because this just isn't an affair. This is, you spent too much money. This is, you wrecked the car. This is, you know, you told the kids something you shouldn't have. There's a million little things that happen in marriage. Actually, most people survive the big stuff. The people who get divorced, it's because the little foxes spoil the vine. And we don't want the little foxes to come eat away at the marriage. We want to make it all the way through. And then that transparency requires a certain amount of intimacy. We have to be willing to stand before them emotionally naked, with a naked soul where they can see all of our transgressions. Intimacy could also be said, into me. See. Letting somebody see into our soul. And if you're not ready to let somebody see your soul, you're not ready to get married. Because it's that kind of intimacy and that kind of transparency which will allow forgiveness. And I want to talk about forgiveness for just one more minute as we close. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Friends, we have to forgive. I just don't know how I'm going to get past this hurt. It was 6 years ago. No, friend, you're holding yourself back. Your relationship will never progress because you haven't been willing to forgive yet. And that's regardless of if they admit it or not. And forgiveness does always not always mean move forward. So what do you do in a, if you're a situation, if you're the offender, what do you do? I did a quadruple major in college, and they taught us the first thing in public relations, which was one of my majors. The number one rule is tell it all. Tell it fast and tell the truth. Make sure there's nothing else they can find out. There's no more details. Nothing else is going to come out and start it up again. Put it all on the table. Truly repent. Be completely transparent. Be devoted to the relationship. And then, everybody say, and then. And then I have watched many marriages become even stronger after something happened than before something happened. And I'm not just talking about affairs. I'm talking about all kinds of things that happen in marriage. But they walk through something tough. They come through it together. And since they've come through it, they really know now they can trust the other person. Was that all right for today?
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.